excused absence for Commissioner Godinez from the May 6, 2024 PTAC meeting.
We do have a public comment on the consent calendar.
A public comment?
Correct.
All right. Is the public comment covered?
Would you like to speak on the consent calendar?
Yeah, we'll set the timer for 3 minutes.
Give me a second, so sorry.
No problem.
I had it at 3 hours.
I'll fill the time. Give me the opportunity.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Board. It's good to see you guys have made it, and we're having a meeting tonight. You know, I was going over the previous history of this board. You know, it's not too good. It's like 50-50 whether we have a meeting or don't have a meeting. So it's good that a special meeting was planned, right? But they take away our public comment from the special meetings. That's why it's very important to have a regular meeting so we can get the public comments in. So I'm trying to stay on topic with the board with the absences and things like that. But I have had other problems with other boards this year. And, you know, it's showing up is the reason why we ask you to do this for us, with us, right? And that's the reason why the council put you here was to show up. And having already people asking for excuse absences and things like that just leads the public in the wrong direction. So I hope that you guys, you know, show up and do the job that we all want you to do. This isn't to be taken negative. It's just a reminder that we are watching and we are paying attention. Throughout, like, previous meetings, we don't say the reason why the meeting was canceled per code rules and all this. So I'm looking to get that changed where we start holding people accountable that are preventing meetings from happening. Now, you know, that's going to be something that you take upon yourselves to support me with or not. In this specific agenda item, getting the approval isn't necessarily like a requirement because it's something that's already happened, right? And so do I see a reason to consider a request for excused absence? No, it's already happened. You can't consider it anymore. It's already done. So, you know, I just try to take things as they are and not pretend like I'm not paying attention. I am paying attention. So I thank you guys for showing up. I will have another public comment later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I want to recognize that Commissioner Batson is here. Thank you very much for coming. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar at this time?
I'll make a motion to approve the calendar.
Thank you. Commissioner Chambers? Any second?
A second.
I forgot your
Williams.
Thank you so much. Okay, a second by Williams. So I have a motion by Commissioner Chambers and a second by Commissioner Williams to approve the consent calendar. Do we need to call the roll?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Chambers?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Chair Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so the item will pass us, and we're going on to the item 4.1, which is the presentation of information technology procurement process, and the presenter, Jose Cisneros, Director of Information Technology.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do, this is still, we started implementing this, but it's still not fully implemented. We're still waiting for the governance board to be, the policy to be approved and to have, to start having our meetings. But in the, we are doing about a good 89% of what I'm gonna present today. So,
Okay. When you, may I interrupt? When you say the governor's board?
Governance board.
And that's with the city attorney and others?
It's being, right now the policy is being reviewed by the city attorney. Once it's, and we'll go over it, once it's approved, how we start meeting and how that fits into this procurement process.
Okay, thank you.
So the first thing here, we created a workflow separating what we consider basically what goes into our service desk as a issue that needs to be resolved, and what goes into a request for work from the IT department of things basically greater than $250. Anything that's over $250 will have to go through a special review. And if it's basically software, new software, anything under $250, TVs, things that are not connected to the network, all get procured, can get procured by the department via just a service ticket telling us that they're purchasing a new TV, a new monitor, keyboard, mice, those kind of things. It will just be a regular ticket, a service desk ticket to get implemented. If the request, if the problem requires IT solution for either it's an identified issue they're having or an unidentified issue that they're having, particular departments, hey, we got this problem, you know, we need a solution. They come to us, we start talking about it, figuring out what it is. And then that will request an IT request work form, and we'll talk about it in your packet and what that form looks like. Acquisition of new hardware. Beyond the standard equipment, like we come up with what's the standard configuration for every employee based on what they do, right? Their field workers, office workers, content creators, non-content creators, and we're working on basically a template for those employees, right? Expansion of current software. If they have a current system, but they want to now expand greater capability, capacity of that system, it still comes to us first to review. Non-routine updates and integrations. Again, there's a new, they have a software, they've been using it well. The vendor says, hey, we want to do this to the software. That still has to come to us to evaluate. Any project requiring a scope of work, if it's going to be big enough that the vendor's saying, here's the scope of work, we have to be involved in it. And any changes to the vendor or system to replace it. It's basically have to be go through the process. So your packet, it might be hard to read here. Your packet is also, it might be hard to read because the text is kind of small. But here's what the flow works. This is for procurement of technology that is over $250. And we just talked about that's a new technology, new software, upgraded to the software, anything like that goes through this process. And so the first step goes to the IT project manager, which right now, by the way, JC Kennard is no longer with us. So I am for now standing in for her, and we are in the process of hiring a replacement. But for now, I'll be your liaison until we hire somebody, right? So I do the project manager work for now. So anything comes in, we review it. It starts with the project manager, reviews it, classifies it. This is a big part in the classification, okay? Is it general technology? Is it sensitive technology? Or is it surveillance technology? That's the big thing that gets decided right away. Internal review by the IT department. All my IT managers, the three divisions, even GIS, reviews the package, how it touches the rest of the divisions, from application support, operation support, PD support, and GIS, right? So they all review, they make the comments, and then the review or the classification, okay, general tech, sensitive technology, or surveillance technology. That's what we determine. Then we meet with the department. Any questions, concerns so far? Okay. So pre-governance review. So this goes to city clerk. Okay, so we have, what are the impacts to data retention? Is this program application have any impacts to data retention? Do we need to look at data retention? how we're addressing that with this particular technology. Some of it might be NA, right? It doesn't do any data retention at all. The other one is HR. How does it apply to HR policies? Any implications to union agreements, MOAs, and that data goes to HR as well. Legal, obviously, legal has to be a big part of the review. They have to go through review process. And then finance, one of the things that I've been here for 2 years, 2.5 years now, and one of the biggest things I'm finding is that things are coming up due for renewal, but we never made a budget for the renewal. We had the money to pay for it up front, and then 3 years later, it's like, oh, we forgot to plan for the life cycle of it, right? So there's no life cycle, no budget for it. So that's one of the things we review with finance. Okay, you got the money up front, but what's the life cycle plan for it? All right, what's going to happen 3 years from now? So at this point, all software sensitive and surveillance technology greater than $25,000 will goes one way. If it's less than $25,000 and it's general tech, it basically comes to me to approve. I can approve it with finance signing the contract. Greater than $25,000 and classify as sensitive or surveillance technology, this is where the governance board will stand up and meet, right? So they'll get the presentation of this is where the use case comes in. What is the use case for this software? For me, I've been asking the 5 W's. Okay, what is being collected? Where is it being collected? Who has access to it? You know, why is it being collected? And how do we audit that those policies that they have, right? In your package, we'll talk about it here. We have a privacy questionnaire part of the package, as well as a cyber questionnaire for the vendor. If this is a third party, how are they protecting the database? So this gets presented to the governance board. For non-sensitive or surveillance technology, the governance board approves it, makes a recommendation to the city manager for approval. Sensitive surveillance technology, now you guys come into play. All right. So after the governance board has reviewed it, they are okay with it, and recommend going forward, it gets presented to you guys. Right. You guys then determine, basically, is it something that the commission is comfortable with? We addressed all your concerns with sensitive technology or surveillance technologies. We have the risk address. We're protecting data. I can answer all those questions for you: who, where, why, all those. You guys then could make can approve or not approve, but make the recommendation whether to approve or not to approve this particular technology. Yes, sir.
And then what is your recommendation as far as all the timelines with the governance, with our board?
It is definitely a culture change for the city because it's no longer, you know, I think we make the change 6 weeks or so before it goes to council. That has to be on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So we go back another for you guys, you know, as the schedule allows, to make sure that we know your schedule and we can come and present to you before the 6 weeks to the council, right? Because they might go back. If you guys don't agree with it, it has to go back and then the whole process starts again, right? So that's one thing that's changing the culture because, again, 2.5 years, I still get surprised. I get something in my box, you know, hey, we gotta go to council next week. And can you review this? It's like, hey, it's not gonna happen, right? It just can't. I'm staff of one right now for this particular process, I'm it.
Right. So your recommended timeline is 6 weeks.
Oh, well, the minimum. We got a timeline. It's not until the governance board completely stands up, then we'll start publishing a schedule based on the schedule you guys have too. We have to stick to the schedule, right? So whatever schedule you say you're going to meet, that's where we have to start going backwards from there. But it is a culture change, and it's something I've been talking to the department heads that it's not something that you're going to be able to come to us at the last minute and say, hey, we need this approval. It's not going to happen. You know, so some of them, you know, they understand because we are doing some of this already. We are doing the cyber assessment for the vendors. We are doing the privacy for the vendors, and if it's sensitive or surveillance, we are doing the use case for them. We are implementing a lot of this. Right now, what I don't have is the governance board. All right. So, but we are working on it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have everybody hold their questions.
Okay.
Just because we want to get through the presentation.
Okay.
And then once the presentation's done, I can recognize individual people with questions.
Surveillance technology, your recommendation basically goes city council approval and the city manager's approval. Over 100,000 goes to city council. City managers, because not everything has to go to council, but most likely the sensitive or surveillance is going to go to council. So in your package, I got three documents on here that gave you in your package. So this request is basically what I had on the slide, IT request procedure, work for our procedure. So again, the same thing I put in the slide. There's no difference on there. So right now what we're telling them, you're talking about timeline. This is right here, right? High priority, 24 hours for us to do the review, for IT department to do the review. It still needs a review by legal, by HR, by city clerk, and the governor's board. But if I'm fully staffed, this is what I'm telling the other departments. I can turn it around 24 hours if it's high priority, low priority, 5 days. This is probably going to change because the volume of what we're getting, it's high, right? And I don't have the resources to do it faster. Again, we talked about the different departments will have to review prior to going to governance board. Private Detection Technology Transparency Commission, you guys come into play, and then it goes to city council. A lot of it is also in accordance with the city's regular procurement system, right? This is just added for IT. So this is a form that requesters have to fill out, what it is, new item upgrade, item expansion, others, description of the project, what it is, associated mandate, is it a mandate, is it being mandated by ordinance or by state law or something that's making us do this? Obviously we gotta account for that. Does it integrate with anything else that we currently have? And then for down here, privacy review. So this is it where your part comes in. That we did a privacy. Does it meet at least definitions? Does the project fall into any following categories? Standard office technology, IT infrastructure, technology solely intended for managed internal administrative functions. Project observed movement behavior surveillance, basically. So we go through all the questions here to be prepared to come to you if we have to. Then everybody's knowledge. The big package and the one, it's been working. Some we've had very few vendors say we can't do this. If we say that, we tell the department head to find somebody else. Because if the vendor cannot answer the basic, this is not something we created. This is a NIST. This is in compliance with NIST. So this is not something that we just came up and decided to do ourselves. This is a standard by the National Institute of Standards and Technology for Cybersecurity Framework. Right? So it's a very intensive 10 pages, and it does intimidate the smaller vendors. But this is something we have to ask, and we go through this, and we don't go forward until we get this document filled out by the vendor. And a lot of it, it might come up to you guys later for PD, or you get the thing that's, oh, we've always done it this way. Oh, we've had the relationship with this vendor for 10 years. Okay, got it, but they're not meeting the minimum specifications that we're asking for. So the recommendation is going to be no. And then they, you know, go back and forth and they get upset with me, but, you know, then Chief Roxy calls me. I see your number, like, oh, I get a special call. But they understand it. Now, we haven't had any pushback. They know we got to change this, you know, the culture's changing, and we don't go forward until this is actually done. And this is why, you know, that's 5 days we can review it, but we're still waiting for the vendor to complete this. In some cases, as I said, we have very small number, but we have had vendors say we can't do this, we can't ask for this. And then the last one is the governance. This is what's being reviewed right now by our city attorney. You know, why we need it. Basically, it's not just for the privacy technology, but it's for the entire city. Mr. Wood's been here in the city before. He can tell you some of the pains that we go through. And having governance over any IT expenditures is what we're looking here for. Fiscal responsibility, one of the biggest things, you know, if you ask me, hey, Jose, provide me a list of IT expenditure, what's your IT budget? And I'll be honest, I'll be hard-pressed to account for every single penny that we spent on IT. Because until recently, we weren't funding everything to IT. Every department is kind of doing their own IT procurement. But we've been stopping that down. I say we're about 99%. Even though today I got a ticket saying, hey, I bought this software off Amazon and I can't use it in the network. It's like, you're not allowed to buy it off Amazon. You know, so it still happens, and unfortunately. So we're trying to put that, and that person use their government card to buy it off Amazon. And I don't see that until after I get the bill and I say, why did this person buy the software, right? So finance, we're working together to see what we can put on there, what kind of blocks, but that's still a function that we're working on. The membership, these are the memberships of the board, and it's going to be a rotating membership. City manager or one of the deputy city managers will be part of the board. Myself, obviously, I'll chair the board and I'll set the agenda for the board. The director of finance, city attorney, guess what? You're part of it.
Yeah, I've been voluntold.
And the chief of police for now, and intended to rotate these like once a year or so, different memberships. Oh, it's a senior department. So, and that's the biggest one. So, okay, that's pretty much my presentation. I'll stand by for any questions.
All right. I did hear that Commissioner Wood, and then I'll have Commissioner Batson.
So my question is for the pre-governance review. I have the understanding of who that pre-governance review is conducted by, as well as the actual governance, formal governance review. They don't come from a background, as far as I understand, of information security, except maybe legal, on privacy, things like that. So given that, going through the process, the flow chart decision tree that you've provided, it seems like by the time that the project or proposal is, if the criteria heads this way, it's presented to this commission, that the very last step is going to council for review. It seems like that's a risk on your part or on the city's part to wait so late to get a body of third-party independent experts in the field to weigh in and say, had you considered this, had you considered that? So my recommendation is, if there isn't a checklist that you will use in the pre-governance or governance review process, that maybe develop one and bring it by for any answer, recommendations from the commission to make sure that you're getting the most juice out of the squeeze in those processes. Earlier in the process, you don't have to go back and rework as much. just a recommendation there.
I understand, and that's where we're working on that part of that the request for work. And when we ask those privacy questions, if that's something that you think we can, we ask further questions or add it there, because we intend to do a lot of the work and preparation for you before then, because yes, you know, we don't expect the city clerk, HR, legal, or finance to do IT work. They're doing their evaluation based on their profession, right? The money wise, again, document management, HR for any HR type, any potential conflicts with MOUs, and my staff does the IT and the surveillance and sensitive technology review, right? So that's supposed to be my job and my liaison job, working with you guys. So, and again, based on the meeting schedule, we can present those before we get to the final approval too. Hey, by the way, we're working on these big projects that are coming down the line, and this is what we're working on. We can do that as well. So, okay. But we'll definitely look at the, you know, we want to do a checklist wise to provide to the department as well as for our review. So, okay.
Thank you. Commissioner Betts.
Yeah, two questions. One, just curious, what application system were you using for like the workflow? Like our...
We tried a couple different ones. We tried project management, okay. P&P. There was another one that we just tried, kind of losing the name of it. But right now, we're just using SharePoint.
Okay.
Our SharePoint library is kind of track.
Yeah, so, okay. And then on this vendor risk assessment questionnaire piece,
mm-hmm.
to what extent do you actually like validate some of these things, right? Like, when somebody says, like, oh, who has access, the question is, who has access to the system, providing data services, who has access control, and they just put something, are you actually going back and like?
We do.
Okay.
Again, maybe not to the extent that if I have full staff, I have one person in okay. cyber doing it, we do follow up with them, and that's okay. one of the things that I'm trying to formalize is how do we audit, right?
Okay.
So we're, like you said, okay, they're putting the names on there.
Yeah.
But how do I
actually
validate and audit that? So that's one of the things that, you know, we need to figure out how to make it and formalize
yeah.
that.
I imagine this is probably challenging for like smaller companies.
Yeah.
Right? The larger companies will probably have this stuff. They're probably already audited.
Yeah.
And just like giving over
right.
their stuff already. Okay.
And some things that we came across were the big companies like AT&T, Cisco, mm-hmm. Microsoft saying, well, it's on our website, right? You know, you kind of like, well, who else you can do business with, right? If we say no to Microsoft, they know. So it's limitations on what we can do mm-hmm. with big corporations,
yeah.
right? We came across that where, you know, the AT&T says, well, that's our policy. We're not going to change it.
Yeah.
You
know, look at our financial statement that's audited by the county firm. Just
yeah.
They
that
said
was,
yes. So, yeah.
That was one of my concerns as well. When I looked at it, I see they got a lot of companies that they want to be addressing here, but I think in some cases, you don't get the opportunity for, I don't want to say, small businesses to be able to really get involved in, like you say, if the big boys are the one running the show, then they're still dictating to the governance board on what and what will be acceptable from their perspective. So,
yeah, it comes down, you know, in the case of the Microsoft of the Cisco one, it came down to, you know, accepting the risk, right? Because we were not going to change their policies, but the risk outweigh the policy they had, the risk to us, to the city. My recommendation at that point to the city manager and to our legal representatives, like, you know, I'm worse off if I didn't have this application than accepting their terms, right? So, because how am I going to protect the network, right? It's that risk. I can't, in this case, I couldn't replace all my edge switches, I couldn't spend $2.5 million to replace all the hardware because we're not gonna comply, we don't agree with that particular term that Cisco had, right? So it's just, it's a risk management thing, decision that we have to make. I wish I, you know, I could, and I wish, but you know, changing out, spending, if I didn't agree to those terms, then we're looking at spending $3 million to replace all our hardware to another party that potentially has the same requirement.
But it's, so, but it still gives them the opportunity to make the final decisions when that's what you're trying to prevent. You want everything to be able to come through
right.
the department. Unless we can address something like that, they're still the ones that's controlling.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had, like we just went through a network redesign RFP, right? And one of my criteria was to get somebody local. I wanted somebody local, somebody here in the county, at least in the kind of sign in the county. But we didn't have any. We had one that wasn't even competitive with what we were getting. And so we had to go with a vendor that's not local to the county, but had a workforce in the county.
Now, was this strictly sole source?
Mm-hmm. No, we went competitive bid. So we received four or five bids, but none of them were. One was local, but they were not competitive to what we were asking.
My question is, how many staff positions do you have available? Is there only one, or is there more?
Right now, for this purpose, it's just my project manager whose, you know, job is project management and network and liaison for the Privacy Commission.
And then with the bigger companies like you were talking about, is there a possibility that staff would fill in the form as best it could using the website as reference, so that at least you have a skeletal on there? Is that the plan?
That's what the other departments were requesting them. We asked them to fill out, you know, if they're not doing it, and then somebody has to do it, you know. So it's the only way we can do it, basically. So the part comes in when we don't agree with something, and having them try to have them address what we don't agree with is the difficult part.
So is there a place on this decision tree where that comes into play?
It would be at where I said it doesn't leave my department, basically. So. Come on. Right here. So in this area right here,
okay,
where is my divisions. And it doesn't go past this. And we work with whoever's requesting it, whatever department's requesting it, with their individual. We work with them to try to get the vendor, and then we will meet with the vendor, with the requesting department together, and go over why we need this information. Like I said, we had, I think I can recall, we started doing this about maybe 6-7 months ago. And it's been two cases where the individual company says, hey, this doesn't apply to us, you know? So it's like, yeah, it does. So we're going back and forth.
So my follow-up question is, you said that there was a spot where the city manager might be missing from the
yeah,
city.
It's,
can you tell me where that would be?
It's at the end, because not everything, if it's sensitive and sensitive surveillance, it goes to council. But in the case where I think we left it off here, whereas it's 100,000 non-sensitive surveillance after the governor's board, it goes to the city manager.
Okay. And then, so this is all it's not yet approved, this process, and it's being vetted, my understanding is being vetted by the city attorney.
It's been briefed to the city manager, it's been briefed to the department heads, it's been briefed to everybody, everybody's ready. We haven't made changes to the policy since the last briefing to the department heads. It's just, you know, getting it. And once we get it approved to the city attorney, then we'll have our first meeting.
And do we have a timeline or a deadline in which the city attorney is going to return it to you so that we can begin the process of getting it approved?
I'll be sitting down and talking to the city attorney and try to get it out. But my goal was get it done, have our first meeting in August, you know, so
right.
we were a little behind already.
That's what we kind of heard.
Yeah.
And so. Does the city attorney have any idea of what the timeline looks like?
It is the city attorney that's reviewing it, not me. So I'm not sure what his yeah. timeline is, but he is the one reviewing it. So
sorry, and I meant
no, that's okay. that's okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. I'm looking at her. It's like sorry.
Yeah. No. I know. I know it's on his radar, and I think we can probably follow up on that.
Yeah,
and make sure it does.
I mean, it's city manager has seen it. My deputy city manager has seen it, and they've been briefed on it. It's just you know getting that last. So.
And my understanding is once it's vetted and given back, I don't know the next step, but I'm going to ask that. And then eventually, that's what allows us to work, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't do very much until we have this.
From the moment it gets signed to me, I get a meeting to get the first meeting going and then notify you that it's done. There's a couple, I don't say minor, I'm not reviewing anything right now that is, well, potentially one that is that will come to your level of being a surveillance technology. Well, actually, it's exempt, right? The
mm-hmm.
body camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only one where, in addition to the body camera, body worn camera, which is exempt from your view, that's the only one that is a surveillance that is that I'm reviewing right now. I don't have anything. Anything that meets the definition of sensitive or surveillance technology in the review process right now.
And if I could clarify, so even before, until the governance, in the interim, before the governance board is set up, based on the council policy regarding the privacy and technology policy, any sensitive or surveillance technology would still come to you regardless of whether the governance board is set up or not. So that's in place and is required regardless prior to, and has nothing, is. I mean, even though they coordinate, they're independent of each other, and the review from you has to happen regardless of whether a governance board ever exists.
So right now, if I had one of the an application or something that met the definition of it,
mm-hmm.
I would just get the governance board and come directly to
mm-hmm.
you with my reviews of it.
Does this decision process have to be approved by city council before it comes?
No. Yeah, right now, like if we did have a case like that with sensitive or technology, it was bypass this governance board section and go directly to this. So.
Any other questions?
I have a question. So, if it does come to our commission, do you have like a criteria of like a what summary we're going to receive with your recommendation, like? Are we going to receive the original request for work, the original, you know, VRA, along with like your summary on either pros and cons or your recommendation? So
that's what I envision. I don't have a package in front of me to do that, but that's what I envision. I envision getting everything that we've been working on, my internal reviews, basically provide you my recommendation or the governance board recommendation, because I'm providing a recommendation to the governance board. And then the governor's board is either going to be okay with my recommendation or not be okay with my recommendation. And those two will come to my recommendation and the governor's board's recommendations. What we have. But yeah, I owe you that. And I have to get you guys what package will come to you. And, you know, and if we're allowed, you know, my idea is get that to you ahead of time so that when we come to here, you have it and we can just review it at that time.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have one. I didn't see a problem. It may be hidden in details that weren't covered in your presentation,
mm-hmm.
but the point of my question is, do you maintain and as part of your technology kind of acquisition process or project implementation also update a data flow diagram, so you know, okay, this is controlled or sensitive data that there is some sort of governance that holds us responsible for protecting, right? Where is that data flowing outside of the city to third party or second parties in case of a vendor contract or anything, but also to third parties, so partner agencies or data sharing, things like that. But I don't have the confidence and maybe you do, but I'd love to know that the city could say, hey, for any given vendor, we know exactly what data is going to them, or for any set of data, I know it's going to these four vendors, and that be kind of at your fingertips, because you're maintaining that with every major change to data flows.
Yeah.
You kind of manage, we have health data or finance data, or, you know, credit card data going here, here, and here, PII data going here, CGI data going here, and we know that because we're tracking it. What I'm seeing here on the vendor questionnaire is simply, if you handle any of this data, do you do so securely? And adding that question in that way leaves it as simple as a, yeah, we do. And it doesn't inform the city in a useful way about holding them accountable down the road or knowing where all your eggs are in different baskets.
Yeah.
So just encourage you to kind of think through that.
No, I understand. And that goes back to Ms. Benson's question on how do we audit, right? Because mm-hmm. we do ask, and especially with some of the police technology, when, you know, there's a CGS requirement for the data to be stored within the continental United States, right? So we came across this one vendor we were looking at that their language was it could be stored offshore under a U.S.-owned company. That doesn't meet CGS requirement if you actually look at CGS. Just because the U.S. Amazon cloud, they have clouds all over the world. Well, that doesn't meet the definition of CGS. CGS is continental United States, regardless of ownership. And so we're going back and forth with that. Okay. So, and again, one of those things, well, we always used them. We've used them for 10 years, and they've been like that. Well, you haven't been compliant, and we haven't been auditing, right? And that's going to be the hard part. How do we implement an auditing of a third party, right? Which I got to come to. We got to come to the attorneys. Because right now we're not requiring. We don't, you know, we ask how the auditing, but I don't know if what my requirements or legal authority to do the audit on a third party. So, okay. Anything else?
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
I wonder, does your department have any relation, or anything to do with those standalone security cameras that we're seeing with like the flashing police lights?
Laser plate?
It's like a little trailer set up in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. There's one that just went up on Main Street.
They're not traffic cameras.
And usually police use that as alerting the public, you know, about security or eyes on, you know, on a particular project. Like they had one at 7-Eleven when the person got
correct.
Burned.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another one, another 7-Eleven was a lot of, you know, shoplifting.
If it's sensitive or surveillance technology, I need to know. And if there is, you know, I'll ask my PD counterpart and say, hey, what about this?
I think he's talking about private property, right?
It's on private property.
Yeah,
private property, I can't do it.
But I've seen where it says like police.
Police on
that. So I'm wondering, like, is that Chula Vista, is it San Diego? Because it kind of borders. You know, some of the San Diego areas.
So. I can ask our chief.
Yeah, I think what he's saying, I think what you're seeing is a lot of the, you see that in Walmart parking lot.
Walmart.
They have it to deter people, but they have the lights in the, I mean, anybody can use a sign say police.
Yeah.
But it's on private property.
But I can ask just to make sure the public understands it's not the city, the Chula Vista police doing it without us knowing.
All right, any other questions? I mean, I realize we did this backwards. We're supposed to get public comment first and then commissioner questions. However,
it's fine to do commissioner questions first and then public comment. It's just if you had to deliberate doing that after public comment.
Thank you. Is there any other questions specific? Let's get the public comment. Is there any comment on this?
Yes, there is one from Robert Johnson.
It's actually good to do it this way so I get to hear it all. Right?
Give me 1 second, Robert. Sorry. Go ahead.
So like I was saying, it's good that you do it like this so the public gets to hear it and then respond to it and act to it. On the paperwork, you can't even look it up on the internet, and if you're going to put in a public comment, there's nothing there to public comment on, so it's kind of useless. But that's something I've been working with them for a long time. So isn't it funny that the governance board is made up of only members who are ones that are spending the money? That's not a conflict of interest, right? There is no accountability on that governance board. I disagree with that 100%. And I will remind you, right now is the time to make your recommendations to change to this policy procedure, right? To have them implemented, because they work for us, right? The amount of money that they're just approving, $20,000, I mean, I wish I had a $20,000 credit card I could just go swipe, right? So there's got to be accountability for all of it, not to mention lowering those minimums, maximums, okay? Let me remind you that just because Amazon is holding our data off-site doesn't mean it's secure or safe, okay? There's very little data held here anymore. Now, when our 911 systems went down December 31st, 2023, I'm still waiting on FOIA from the police department on all that information. They don't want to be transparent, right? And that's the part where you guys need to grasp them a little bit and go, what's going on? I thought this was for transparency, right? They lost the case with the drone stuff. They still won't release the drone footage. And then those, I talked to the cops. The cops put those there. Because it's a high crime area. That's just, you know, very common. There's so many important things to recommend to the people who are working for us, because they're just gonna do whatever they want to do. Whatever makes their job easiest, why, if there's no one there holding you account, they're not even doing audits of the system. There's a computer system that runs the meeting stuff. They barely have been working on that. It's been all year and it still doesn't work. So we're paying a contractor for a system that doesn't even work. Well, very good audit is just doing what I'm doing, walk up and use it. Yet they can't even do that, and I've shown them this several times. I don't come here to say it like this because I haven't earned it. I've done the work to put them in a spot where they need to fix stuff. Are they fixing it? No, we're still paying the bill.
All right, thank you very much for that comment. The first action item is the election of commission chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2024 through 2025. That's item 5.1. This is an annual item required per the Chula Vista Municipal Code 2.25.180. The role of the chair may require an additional time investment to perform its duties, which include, but are not limited to, chair all the meetings, keep discussions orderly, focused, efficient, and fair, consult with staff liaison in drafting meeting agendas, attend council meetings as needed, and sign correspondence and resolution on behalf of the commission. The elected vice chair is responsible for substituting the chair as needed. There is no limit on how many one-year periods a member may be a chair or vice chair. It's at the committee's discretion to vote in the same chair and vice chair or nominate a new chair and vice chair. I will now ask for nominations, but I do want to just remind everyone, I think these meetings are recorded. When we speak, it's very important to say who we are. That's why the chair typically calls on people so that the commissioner's voices are recognized and heard by the public attached with your name. And so when you're asking for nominations, when you're giving your nominations, then please ask to be recognized. I'll recognize you by stating your name. So now, the floor is open to the nominations for chair and vice chair. Go ahead, Commissioner Chambers.
Well, I'd like to nominate that we keep as is our chair, Blake, and our vice chair, Louise.
All right, so there's one nomination for myself. Anybody else like to make a nomination for chair or vice chair? All right, I do give consent on my own behalf for the chair. Vice Chair Ruiz is not here to give her consent, so I'm not sure how that would work. Do you have any advice?
mean, you have a couple options. You could wait to vote on vice chair until next time when she's here. You could vote her in, and then she could decline and resign, and you could refill it if you wanted to. You could do it either way, whatever you're more comfortable with.
I think my preference, but I'm just me not necessarily acting as super chair at this moment, is to vote her in or have her on the voting ballot for vice chair, and then allow her the opportunity to decline at the next meeting. Is there consensus on this? Does anybody have an opinion?
I do.
Go ahead, Commissioner Williams.
I think we should wait until next meeting and let her make that decision.
All right. We are going to be discussing the meetings then. Could we go ahead and do the chair and then split it off from the vice chair?
Yes, you can separate them out.
All right, then what we'll do is vote on chair, since I am present, unless anybody else would like to nominate themselves for chair. And we'll take that vote, and then we'll split and do vice chair at the next meeting. All right, so Mr. Lake has been nominated for the position of chair. No further nominations. So is there a motion and a second motion to nominate me as the new chair?
A second.
Okay. Well, I think you did the first one, so I'll say Williams for the first, and then does anybody second?
I'll second.
All right, and I have Godinez seconding. And then we're going to take a vote, please.
Yes. Commissioner Chambers?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Chair Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
All right, then the motion passes for fiscal year 2024-25 that Chair Lake will be appointed as the chair.
Yes.
For fiscal year 2024 through 2025. And then we will postpone or table the vice chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, the next action item is 5.2. We're going to discuss and select the date and time for the regular Privacy Protection and Technology Advisory Commission meetings for the calendar year 2025. Are there any public comments for this item?
There are no public comments.
All right, thank you. All right, I believe our next meeting
December 2nd.
Are we able to discuss the next meeting as well, December 2nd, 2024?
Well, it's already on the calendar.
Okay.
That's December 2nd is set for 2024.
Yeah. Okay. So we have December 2nd, 2024 already set, and the motion or the suggestion is keeping the 5 p.m. starting time, and that it would be February 3rd, April 7th, June 2nd, September 8th and December 1st, 2025. Are there any comments from the commissioners as to these dates? Go ahead, Commissioner Batson.
Yeah, so April 7th, I'll be out of town that week.
Okay.
Kids' spring break.
Is that Chula Vista spring break?
No, my daughter goes to school in Mission Hills. But
okay. Go ahead, Commissioner Wood.
These seem very infrequent to me, and so I'm glad to see that the city will call for and request a special meeting when the conditions are useful to do timely reviews. So
yes.
I encourage you to continue considering that practice.
Yeah, we anticipate there may be a need for that if the number of items that need to be reviewed by the commission increases, then there would probably be a need to call special meetings more often to keep the process moving along.
I think, this is Commissioner Lake, I think the minimum after, can you remind me,
after
a certain time is quarterly, right?
Exactly. So the municipal code section that created this commission specifies that it's every other month through December 2024, and then at least one regular meeting quarterly thereafter. The suggestion by staff recommendation is in every other month, even into 2025. Your minimum would be quarterly next year. but the suggestion is to keep it at every other month.
Correct. I know I had a pre-conference about this item and requested it be every other month, given the lack of meetings that we've had since May of 2024, because I do feel like you indicated, Commissioner Wood, that it's a little infrequent. We have yet to establish ourselves in a real meaningful way here, and I think these meetings will assist. Anybody have comments about this particular schedule for next year? All right, is there a motion to approve the resolution establishing regular meetings to commence at 5 p.m. on February 3rd, April 7th, June 2nd, September 8th, and December 1st, 2025?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Wood. And a second by anyone?
I second.
Thank you, Chambers. Commissioner Chambers. All right, I have a motion by Commissioner Wood and a second by Commissioner Chambers to approve the resolution. Will the roll be called, please?
Yes. Commissioner Chambers?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Chair Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Williams?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
All right, the item passes. All right, we are at the time for staff comments.
I know the comments are. So I do stand by. I know, depending on the rules, when you guys can, if you guys have any questions, let me know. And this is a process that we're trying to implement. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, chair comments. I am excited about this presentation today. It does give us a framework in which to work. That is exciting to have something in front of us to know where we stand in the entire process. So I want to thank staff for that. I will not be present at the next meeting. I have a family vacations pre-scheduled, so I will not be present. And if Commissioner Ruiz is not here, perhaps we'll look for someone else to step into the role of chair. Any commissioner comments at this time?
I have one.
Go ahead, Commissioner Godinez.
This is Commissioner Godinez. I'd like to address our public and also our commissioners. I apologize for missing. I take my role and responsibility seriously. To me, and that's the reason why I'm here, is to do this work. Unfortunately, when I can't make it, that's like, dire circumstances when I can't be here. So I appreciate everybody, and thank you.
Any other commissioner comments? All right, then the meeting is adjourned at 6:01. Thank you very much. We will return for our next regular PTAC meeting on December 2nd, 2024 at 5 p.m. I want to thank everybody for their flexibility tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
That same system that does the stuff for the meetings is actually in Canada. That's the funny part about all the privacy and protections, right? But all of us are taking a look at the information. That's all that I do.
Thanks. Happy to serve.
Hello?